In Erevin Daf Dalid Amud Aleph, the Gemara derives the Shiurim for Macholas Asuros from Chita, and Rashi Dibra Maskel Shiurim says that Nasnu Chachamim Shir L'chol Dover Kigon Kizayis Dam. So Rashi gives an example of a shir of Kizayis in Achilas Dam. And then we have Chelev, Pigul, Nosar. We have Kizayis Minames, that's Mitami B'Oel. But Rashi mentions Dam. Now it's interesting that the Ramban in Masechet Avodah Zarah says that the shear of Achilas Dam is a revius. When it comes to solids, the shear of Achila is Kizayis, but when it comes to liquids, the shear is always a revius. Yet Rashi, and it's not just Rashi, you'll find this also in the Rambam in Machol Sasus Perek Vav, that the shear of Achilas Dam is a Kizayis. That's a little bit odd, because L'chora, Dam is a classic liquid, and the shear for liquids is always a revius. So the Minchas Chinuch tries to make sense out of this sheet of Rashi in the Rambam. And he says that when the Torah prohibits dam, it says lo tochlu kol dam. The Torah uses the Lashon Achila with regard to the Iser of dam. And since Achila is mentioned, therefore Achila is always b'kizayis. Shesia is relevant to, the shear for Shesia is going to be revius, but the Torah doesn't say Shesia, don't drink dam, it says don't eat dam. So you see clearly that the shear of Isra Achila does not depend upon the nature of the food, the Meichel, the Suga Meichel, but it depends upon the Lashon HaIsur, which is Muzkar in the Torah, which is mentioned in the Torah. So since the Isur Achilas Dam is mentioned Kol Chelu V'Kol Dam Lo So Chelu, is Mabel the Shir of Achila is going to be a Kizayis and not a Revius. So for example, in Truma, the halacha is zar sheshasa truma loke b'kizayis. Why? Because again, in the case of truma, as far as the Isur zar is concerned, the Torah uses the lashon of achila. So the Rambam in Hilchos Trumas, Perek Yud, writes that if a person violates the Isur of zar b'truma, he's chayev with a kizayis, even if he would drink truma. Let's say, for example, he takes truma from Zaysim Vanovim and he drinks the oil or the wine, he's loka b'kizayis, even though he's involved in a maisa shasiyah. So the shear of kizayis does not depend, again, on the nature of the food, whether its makeup is that of a solid or a liquid, but rather on the nature of the isur as formulated by the Lashon HaTorah. Okay, now let's go over to the Ramban for a moment, and then we'll come back to the Shita of Rashi and the Rambam. The Ramban says that the Shear of Dam is a Revius. And the one who picks up on this Ramban is the Me'iri in Masechta Brachos on Daf Mem Aleph, and he writes that the Din of Kizayis with regard to the Shear of Dam only applies to what's called Dam Karush, which means that the dam was coagulated. It would sound like, according to Meiri, if the dam was not karush, but rather was clear, then the shear would be a revius, which is exactly what the Ramban is saying. Except the Ramban doesn't make this distinction between karush and not karush. Is it congealed? Coagulated? Is it not coagulated? The Ramban seems to say that the shear of dam is a revius. But the Meiri really fleshes it out. The Meiri says, what will be the shear of dam? It's yesh v'yesh. Meaning the Meiri holds that the shiurim of kezias and revius depend upon the sug hamachal, on the type of food that you're eating. Now, we're going to learn a machne frayim. Machne Ephraim, his name was Navon. He was a Sephardi, he wore a turban, and he was a great gadol about 2.5 centuries ago. And he says the following. He says, with regard to the shear of dam, the Isra Achilas dam, we find l'chora astira from two sugyas in Shas. There's a Gemara in Krisus on Daf Chav Beis, and a Gemara in Yevamos on Kuf Yud Dalet. Whereas the Gemara in Krisus seems to indicate that the shear of Achilas Dam, for Chiyuv of Dam, is Kizayis, the Gemara in Yevamos says it's only a Revius. So the answer possibly could be that it all depends what the state of the Dam is. If it's solul, that means it's liquidy, then the shear is Revius. If it's Karush and it's solid, then the shear is going to be a Kizayis. And that's the way we could reconcile this stira between what seems to be irreconcilable, the Gemara in Krisus, which talks about the shear of Kezias and Dam, the Gemara in Yevamos, the shear of Revius. The Rashash adds another element into the equation. He says, what is he doing? Is he eating straight Dam, that's it? Or is he eating Dam together with some sort of food that he puts in his mouth? If he eats it together with a dvar machol, that makes it derech achila. And if it's derech achila, shear is a kezias. If on the other hand he has no other machol, he's just drinking the dam, then the shear is revius like any other mashke. The shear is always a revius. Now let's go on to a slightly different topic. There are many shiurim that are derived from the Sheva Minim Eretz Yisrael Nishtabcha Behen. But there are other shiurim that do not appear in this parasha at all. And the Gemara is looking for Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai with regard to Shiurim. Why didn't the Gemara just say that Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai reveals and teaches those Shiurim that are not written in this pasuk? The Gemara has no idea what to do with this Rav statement that the Shiurim Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, since we derive, Rav Chanan derives all the Shiurim from the Sheva Minim, which is in the Torah itself. We don't need Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, but that's not really true, because there are Shiurim that are not derived by Rav Chanan from the seven species. So this kasha is raised by the Maharal Prague in his sefer called Gur Aryeh. It's also raised by the Aruch Lener in his commentary on Sukkah. And there are two answers that are given. One answer is that really Enochinami, the Gemara, could have given this answer, but the Gemara preferred to say that even these seven shiurim are only written b'derech remez, they're only alluded to by the Torah, but they're not explicit in the Torah. So the Gemara preferred to give that answer, but Enoch Inami, the Gemara could have said that certainly for other shiurim we need Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. The second answer, the second approach is that the Gemara felt it was dochak, it was really a stretch, to separate and differentiate between those shiurim and these shiurim. That there are shiurim that are learned from the pasuk, and then there are shiurim that are halacha L'Moshe MiSinai that are not included in this pasuk. Now, let's give an example of shiurim that are not written in the pasuk. One example, which we mentioned yesterday in our discussion, is the shiur of gadlus. A katan is less than Yud Gimel Shana. Once he reaches Yud Gimel Shana, etc., etc., he becomes a gadol. That shear is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And again, the Gemara may have avoided giving that answer that that's what halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai is writing for, because the truth is that all the shear of halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, even those that we ke'ilu derive from the seven species, those are also halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. This is just an asmachta. We only derive from that pasuk an asmachta. Now, I want to share with you a kasha of Rav Shlomo Kluger. And this kasha was asked by Rav Shlomo Kluger to the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva in Orach Chaim. If the Gemara is searching for Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai in Shi'urim, because all the Shi'urim seem to be written in the Pasuk, he says the following, that these Shi'urim that are written in the Pasuk all require Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai because there's a principle called Rubo Kekulo. And if we were to apply the principle of Rubo Kekulo, then if a person eats Rove of a Kezias, he should be liable for Kulo, as if he ate the full Kezias. We'll give Malkus, Kares, whatever the punishment might be. Comes the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai to tell me that we suspend the principle of Rubo Kekulo because of Shiurim. The Torah requires a minimum shear. And that minimum shear, if we were to analyze it from the perspective of Kol HaTorah Kulo, we'd say Rubo Kekulo. But since there's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai knocks out the Rubo Kekulo, therefore we need a full Kezias. And nothing less than a full Kezias will do. So why is the Gemara racking its brain, so to speak, to come up with Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? I have a simple answer, says Reb Shlomo Kluger. The answer is, I need Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai to suspend, or to, shall we say, to eradicate the normal, to neutralize the normal principle, which we activate in Kol Torah Kulo of Rubo Kekulo. And the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is going to tell me, you're not chayav feeding Rove Kezias until you eat a full Kezias. So that was the kasha, a very lumdish kasha, a very profound question that was asked by Reb Shlomo Kluger to the Chassam Sofer. And we have in a tshuva the Chassam Sofer's response to Reb Shlomo. And let's see if we can figure out what the Chassam Sofer's response was. He says the following. I'll just read to you his lashon. He says, Din Rubo Kekulo Shayach Rak Berov Mitoch Kulo. What's Rov Mitoch Kulo? Dahainu Shakol Matsui Lifanenu. For example, let's say you have Sanhedrin, and most of the members of the Sanhedrin are in favor of a certain verdict, and we have the dissenting view, which is the miut. So Rubo Kekulo tells me that even the miut is, so to speak, trumped or possibly swallowed up by the rov. So we have a din on both the rov and the miut, and Rubo Kekulo says that we paskin based on the rov. Avol ein omrim shedai sheyu lefanenu rov dayanim. Let's say, for example, we have a Sanhedrin which is made up of 71 elders, and right now we only have 40 of the plenum available. In such a case, we don't apply the principle of Rubo Kekulo. Why? Because we need kulo befanenu. That's called rov mitoch kulo. For example, in tefillah, we need a minyan. If we have 10 people, then we can apply Rubo Kekulo. Why? Some of the people already davened. Most have not yet davened. And the miyud is nimshach achar arov. That's because, again, we have rubo mitoch kulo. Ach vadai lo nomar shizdai b'zayin anoshim lechoshiv minyan. All we have is seven people. So we're going to make a minyan out of seven people and say rubo kakulo? It's not shayach to say rubo kakulo unless it's rubo mitoch kulo. Therefore, if a person eats rov kezayis, or let's say he's tovel in a mikvah that instead of having 40 saw, it has 21 saw, we're not going to apply rubo kakulo. A mikvah of 21 saw is not a mikvah. You can stand on your head, it's not a mikvah. So Rav Shlomo Kluger writes back to the Chassam Sofer. He says, I don't get it. What happens if he has a kezayis and he puts the kezayis into his mouth and he swallows only rov? Are you going to tell me now that rubo kakulo and he's chaya for eating rov of a kezayis because it's mitoch kulo? These are Gedolei Yisrael back and forth. So he says the following. And this is the answer of Rav Shlomo Kluger, why rubo kakulo doesn't apply to shirim. He says, din rubo kakulo noig dafka b'dayonim. The din of rubo kakulo only applies to dayon, not beyond. Avol b'isuri achila osra Torah gak es kol ashir shebo yesh hanos grono umeyov. The Torah says that you have to have a certain element of Hanos Grono, Hanos Meov, Tushitas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, and that's going to be the total shear. If you don't have the total shear, it's not called Hanos Grono, it's not called Hanos Meov. V'lo b'pochos b'shear zeh. So the halacha of Ruba Kakulo applies only in the context of Sanhedrin. Well, guess what? That's not a good answer either. Why? Because let's take the case of Kezayis Minames. So in order for the mess to be Mitame, the corpse, you need a Kezayis. Or for example, forget about the flesh of the mess, talk about the bone of the mess. If the bone is the size of an etzem kisi ora, it's metami b'magu mas. Why don't we say rubo kakulo? There's no reason why rubo kakulo should apply specifically to dayonin. Okay, I understand in the case of achila, you're right. The anos grono, anos meov requires a kezayis. Less than that is not anos meov, not anos grono. Does hasten in achila. And you can't apply rubo kakulo. But why not apply to rubo kakulo to the shear of kezayis min ames? I mean, there we're not talking about swallowing something and benefiting anah. So at the end of the day, we really don't have a clear grasp on this whole issue of rubo kakulo, when it should apply and when it doesn't apply. Let's take a look and Reb Chaim. Now Reb Chaim is not in the Sefer. It's in what we call Chidush Reb Chaim al Hashas stencil. And Reb Chaim says the following. Lo shayach lomar rubo kakulo, ela bedover mesuyam. Kigon, bishchitas simonim. Trying to understand what Reb Chaim means by Dover Mesuya. The Torah says that you should shech two simonim. And the Torah gives a certain chashivus to these two simonim, the connotation, right? Once he shechts rov, so the Torah says, you know what? He has something. It's considered as if he shechted the two simonim. That's called a Dover Mesuyah. Ach, because I is Nevela, what significance is there to this Kezias Nevela? And you can take any Kezias from the Nevela, from head to toe, and has the same identical status. That's on a Dorim Mesuya. The Chiddush of Rubo Kekulo is that the Chashivas of a Dorim Mesuyam can be achieved with Rov. But otherwise, what's Rov in a case of Nevela? It's not a Dorim Mesuyam. There's no difference between half or whole. It's Eino Nechshav Kekulo. So I don't know, I'm thinking out loud. Let's say you need 10 people, Shalois Palalu, to make up a minyan. Well, let's say 7 out of the 10, or 6 out of the 10, haven't yet davened. 4 or 5, whatever the number, 4 or 3, already davened. So can I apply Rubo Kekulo? So it seems to me that according to Reb Chaim, there would be no din of Rubo Kekulo in the case of Asar Leminyan. Why? Because Mimonafshach. If you're talking about a Tzibur, well, 6 is not a Tzibur, 7 is not a Tzibur. So how are you going to create a Tzibur out of 6? Rov cannot create this new entity called a Tzibur. And if you're looking at 10 individuals, well then, that's not a Dover Mesuya. When we have an animal that needs Shechita, they're the two Simonim, that's called a Dover Mesuya, and that lends itself to Rubo Kekulo. But if you talk about Reuven, and then you talk about Shimon, and then you talk about Levi, and so forth, each one down the line, you don't have a Dover Mesuyam. The Dover Mesuyam is a Tzibur, but for that you need 10 people to form a Tzibur. That's what he quotes from Reb Chaim. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this pasuk, Eretz Chita, Siora, Geffen, etc. And the Gemara says here on Daf Dalid, Kol HaPosuk HaZeh L'Shiurim Nemru. So Rashi says, not here but in Sukkah, that this Posuk is talking about Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. Shafilu B'Divrei Torah Tzorech L'Shar B'Peroseha Isurim Shabbat Torah. It's very, very paradoxical. He's saying, you're talking about Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, and now you want to know, with regard to the Isurim, what's the nature of those Isurim? When do you violate those Isurim? When did you eat the Peros? When did you not eat the Peros? And we're using the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael to establish through those peros the surim that the Torah prohibited. I find that very, very paradoxical. You see, if you're talking about Rabbi Yitzchak in Masechta Brachos on Daf Mem Aleph, he uses this pasuk of Eretz Chita for Kedima in Brachos. That I understand which is greater, Chita or Siora. You want to make a bracha, and you have two options. The kedima is chita, because in terms of priorities in Eretz Yisrael, chita is even greater than siora. That I understand. Eretz Yisrael could play a role, but when you're dealing with isurim and you want to know which is usur, which is mutar, it's a bit of a paradox that you derive that from peirosh and ishtabhu bohen Eretz Yisrael. So the Ritva says that Ksha'anu Tzrichim L'Shayer B'Divrei Torah, we want to know about a Torah law. The Torah prohibits X or Y, and we want to know what are the conditions, whether the Shira met. then ze atzmo nichlal b'shvacha shel Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we have to go to Eretz Yisrael and it's seven great species, that itself is called shvach Eretz Yisrael. We have to, in order to understand the Torah, we have to, you know, we rely on or fall back on the perush and ishtabchu ben Eretz Yisrael. That itself is considered shvach of Eretz Yisrael. Interesting. So let me quote to you the Aruch HaNer, again in Sukkah. He says the following: Mat sorich l'shayer v'paschitin v'lo v'pasiorin. We're talking about a person goes into Beis HaMenuga, and we want to know how long he stayed in the Beis HaMenuga. Is it the time you would take you to eat a pas chitin or a pas yorin? Well, it says chita and not tzaora. He says, ein bo zeh shvach bi Eretz Yisrael. That the fact that you're wondering whether or not it takes X amount of time to eat a chita or to eat a tzaora, pas this, pas that, that doesn't add anything to the shvach of Eretz Yisrael. He's not going with the Ritva. Says the Aruch HaNer, Kemo shachitin mutamim yoser me'asiorin. He says the reason why we are meshayer with chita, not siora, is because chita tastes better than siora. You know, barley bread is not the same as wheat bread. Is kmochein hachita shel Eretz Yisrael has a better taste than the chita of other arotzos, and it's so easy and quick to eat it because it's so tasty, you know, that is itself a shvach of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, if I said this to my Rebbe, I think he would say no philosophy, but the Aruch HaNer is giving us some philosophy. He's saying, well, what makes chita indicative of shvach Eretz Yisrael? The chita of Eretz Yisrael is tastier than the chita of Chutz Laretz, and that itself is going to give me the shear of kidei achilas pras of a kikar of chita as opposed to a kikar of siora. Then he writes le'inyan gefen yayin shel Eretz Yisrael. What makes the Yayin of Eretz Yisrael so special? And he writes, okay, this has to do with a different concept I'm not familiar with, which has to do with Yitzias Yayin. Are you familiar with that? I'm not familiar with this concept called Yitzias Yayin. Anyway, I appreciate the Aruch HaNer's attempt here to connect between Shvach of Eretz Yisrael and Yishurim. He's making a valiant effort. Okay. Now let's see, as we end the shiur, just give me a minute. As we end the shiur, let's try, if we can't understand the inside of the Tzlach, the Noda B'Yehuda. The Gemara's language here is Kol HaPosuk L'Shi'urim Nemar. He wants to understand the extra Kol here. What's the emphasis of Kol? And he says that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, in Brachos Daf Mem Aleph, we mentioned it earlier, the Pasuk is telling me Din Kedima B'Seder HaBrachos. Anything earlier in the pasuk gets a kedima. It could be that Rabbi Yitzchak derived that from the extra word kol here in the Gemara. Kol haposuk l'shiurim nemar. And what does that mean? He says the following: that this pasuk has the word eretz twice. And Rav Hanan is saying Kol HaPosuk L'Shi'urim, which means that he's going to derive the Shi'urim from the X word Eretz. And if that's the implication of deriving Shi'urim from the fact that the Torah repeats the word Eretz, that gives Rabbi Yitzchak the green light, the license, to go ahead and say that in Kedima of Brachos we should depend upon Eretz. Which of the species is closer to Eretz? And he says the following. We have a question. Why did the Torah put Chita first on the list? In fact, although we need Chita for the shear of Beis HaMenuga, that's not something that's very common. So why would Chita go first? In fact, the law of Beis HaMenuga, which is the jump off point for this halacha of Chita, is only noge in Eretz Yisrael. So it's not very commonplace. Furthermore, he says, when it says Haaretz, and the Gemara is going to use that for the shear of Zesim, well, all the different Shi'urim, are they dependent upon Eretz? You know, the word Eretz seems to indicate karka, you know, a mitzvah tuli of a karka. But we're talking about Macholos Asuros. Macholos Asuros are applicable anywhere on the face of the earth, so you can't talk about karka. So what's the connection here, the role of Eretz? So he says the following. Chatzi Shir in Macholos Asuros, we paskin, based on Rabbi Yochanan at the end of Yuma, is Asur min HaTorah. So the difference between a full shear and pachos mikashir is only as far as malchus is concerned, in the case of mezid or carbon, in the case of shogeg. But both of them, whether it's pachos mikashir or a full shear, are awesome in a Torah. And he writes that shneim shayochim utluyim bi eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Sharia Karbonos Kravim Rakbi Eretz Yisrael. The Afchi of Malkus Shaykh Rakbi Bezdin Hasmuchin De Eretz Yisrael. So these distinctions between a full shear and a chatzi shear are relevant to Malkus and to a Chi of Karbon Vishogek. And a Chi of Malkus could only be relevant in Eretz Yisrael because we need Bezdin Shal Smuchin Be Eretz Yisrael. And carbon, for sure, is only relevant to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Tzlach, Me'ata miyushav kol loshen ha-posach, she-posach bi Eretz Chita. Why did the Torah open up with Chita? And the answer is because the Shir Chita is only relevant to Eretz Yisrael, because Beis HaMenuga is only operative in Eretz Yisrael. V'acharkach, Hosif Aposik Lomar, Dvarim She'enin Yonim Dafka Li Eretz Yisrael, Kigon Etzem Kisi Ora, or Gefen Lid Nazir, or Grogeres Totsa Shabbos. All of these are applicable in Chutzar to the same extent that they apply in Eretz Yisrael. It's all called a Chovas Haguf, it's not a Chovas Karka. And therefore, if you carry on Shabbos less than it could Grogeres, the Torah says that's okay. That has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. That's a Chovas Haguf. But Mesha Eino Isra Achila Lo Shayach Din Chatzi Shir Ha'os Min HaTorah. So the whole concept of Chatzi Shir is only relevant to Isra Achila, and it's not relevant to the other Isurim. V'shuv kosav eretz zei shemen udvash v'shnei yisur macholos halol v'kizayis k'sosevis b'yom ha-kipurim is b'chutz l'aretz ein nafgemina b'shi'urim v'arei af b'chatzi shir os v'rak b'eretz Yisrael yesh nafgemina b'shi'urim l'chein hidgish shuv tevas eretz u'bezeh miyushav shekol ha-posuk l'shi'urim shegam tevas eretz shenichpola Hainu litzorach hashiur. Basically, what the tzlach is able to accomplish for us is he wants to demonstrate that all these shiurim are relevant to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning what? Meaning that as far as Chutz La'aretz is concerned, there's no difference between Chatzi Shir and Shir, because there's no Chiv Malkus in Chutz La'aretz, and there's no Karbon in Shogeg in Chutz La'aretz. So when it gets to Macholas Asuros, now you can talk about the difference between Shir and Chatzi Shir, but only that's not relevant in Chutz La'aretz. It can only be relevant in Eretz Yisrael, because it's only relevant to Malkus and Karbon. Chita is only relevant to Beis HaMenuga. That's only relevant in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Beis HaMenuga in Chutz La'aretz. Once we get to Etzem Kisiora, Geffen for Nazir, and Grogeres for Hotzah Shabbos, so these are relevant to Chutz La'aretz, just like they're relevant to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because all the above are Chovas HaGuf, as we said before. However, there's no din of Chatzi Shir in all of the above. So the Torah wants to emphasize the difference between Shir Shalom and Chatzi Shir. Well, that difference is only relevant in Eretz Yisrael. So in all the other cases, we don't have a din of Chatzi Shir. So for example, Etzem Kisora, as we discussed earlier today, doesn't have a din of, well, it's most of an Etzem, most of a Sora. Or Geffen Linazir, you know, he drank most of a Revius. Or he carried out most of a Grogers from one Rishus to another on Shabbos. There's no relevance to Chatzi Shir. There's only a din of Shir Shalit. So the Torah is going to emphasize Eretz Zeh Shemen Udvash, because we're getting to Macholas Asuros, where there is a din of Chatzi Shir. And here we're getting back to Eretz. The Torah has to emphasize Eretz once again. So the Eretz at the beginning of the Pasuk is relevant to Chita, because that's based on Menuga, and that's only in Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz on the end of the Pasuk is relevant to Macholas Asuros, where there's a din of Chatzi Shir. Once again, the difference between Chatzi Shir and Shir Shalem is only relevant in Eretz Yisrael. In the middle, he leaves out the word Eretz because he has four cases of Shiurim that are Chovas HaGuf, and there's no difference between a full Shir and a Chatzi Shir. So we see very clearly that there's an indication here of Eretz Yisrael in this Pasuk. So the Tzlach ends, I just want to add this on, that the Lashon of Kol HaPasuk L'Shiurim Nemar is trying to tell us that even part of the Pasuk where it says Eretz, and it says it twice, that's also relevant to Shiurim. You would have thought that the two words Eretz, based on Rav Yitzchak and Brachos, is only relevant to Kedima and Brachos, and Perish and Ishtabchu ben Eretz Yisrael. But no, it's relevant even to Shiurim, because at the beginning of this Pasuk, there's Eretz Chito, which is relevant to Shiurim, because that's based on Menuga and Eretz Yisrael. And the second Eretz is getting us back on the track to Isuri Achila, and once again, that's going to be relevant in Eretz Yisrael because of the difference between Shir Shalem and Chatzi Shir.